We've tried to arrange the meeting so there aren't too many morning sessions. There are a couple. But as I said, it's going to be a challenging meeting, and I thank you for all for participating. A number of ground rules. I really would like to try to start meetings on time. That means you really have to get here before the meeting, certainly for the first one in the morning. It's not hard to subtract 10 minutes. There's always going to be some social interactions and things. But the only way we're going to be able to come anywhere near sticking to our agendas is if we can start on time, and that, of course, goes for breaks also. So I'm going to try to be somewhat of a, cracking a whip to try to make sure that we can do that. I also have a slight hearing problem. I have a real difficulty speaking over other people speaking around the room. So if you really need to talk to someone, go out to the back. I find it very distracting. I know I'm not the only one. Keep interventions short. Sometimes we're going to use our two-minute timer. Sometimes we're not. Regardless of whether the timer is there, try to keep interventions short. If you want to support what someone else said, say, I support what someone else said. Don't repeat it all again. Please. If you find me rambling on, tell me. I will tend to do it just like the rest of you. That's one of the mechanisms. Some people use slightly more violence, but if we can get through this meeting, as you might have seen, there's an hour session later on this week on talking about ALS engagement, ALS criteria. If everyone around the table has an intervention, it's an hour long, but we each only have 2 minutes. So keep things short. But at the same time, I want to hear from people. Everything should not be the same two people speaking or the same five people speaking. And lastly, I remind you that according to our rules of procedure, we will be keeping attendance records at each meeting. If you are not going to be here for some reason, please send your regrets, give your regrets that you have some other conflict. It's not just that you have to show up at the first meeting and after that you're completely on your own. And we will, as we go on, be publishing the records for just so you know ahead of time. I don't think I have anything else on ground rules. Are there any other general questions? The last thing on the agenda for this section is simply that, as usual, we will be asking you to submit reports on the meetings you go to. Doesn't have to be more than a few sentences. There's a self-sign-up page that's pointed to off of the meeting page. Off of the meeting, okay. It's important. Not everyone can go. At least if you say you were there and give a one or two sentence thing, people know how to find you. We're not asking you to write essays on each thing. That might be interesting and useful, but we're not likely to do it. Vanda.
Yes, just remember last time I saw, there is a kind of behavior that I don't believe is so nice with the people that is our invitee. People is keeping looking to the computer. So at least make something like that, and pay attention to the invited people that we are here. Because it's a little huge, to not pay attention. If you don't want to think about, you don't. But It's not an idea.
Excuse me, may I interrupt, Vanda? And also not run videos while you're in the middle of a meeting. Or Adobe Connect with the speakers on. Sorry, Vanda, go ahead.
It's just that, let's do this something because it's more nice for the people that we are invited to come and talk to us.
Thank you, Vonda. But I will note some people actually use their computers to take notes and things like that. So you can't always presume they're doing their own work. But yes, to the extent possible, let's try to focus on the meetings. Meetings are more and less important for each person depending on the subject. So I think we have to be flexible. Leon.
Thanks, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. I don't know if you've already said it, but just a reminder for everyone to state their name before speaking, because we have remote participants that and a transcript that needs to go on the record. So,
thank you for the reminder, Leon. I'm particularly bad at that. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. So keep on reminding me. I'll try to keep on reminding you, and Gisela will keep on reminding all of us. Yes, sorry. And Gisela reminded me it's not only for remote participants, it's for the interpreters also. Any other things we need to bring up as our introduction? Is Fadi here yet?
No, not yet. Not, okay. Action items. Smart,
that. Ah. I didn't, but I could. Sorry, Heidi whispers in my ear. Okay. She said to mention action items. As the various tasks that are being done by staff in the meeting are allocated to different people, when we have action items, we're going to try to be meticulous and say, make sure that when we write it down, we actually understand what it is, so when we look at it later, we remember. That's something that hasn't always happened in the past. We are going to the extent possible, assign them to people or groups, and when possible, put target dates on them. So we're going to find we're interrupting ourselves and stopping a little bit to get the action items right. Hopefully it's better than trying to figure out what they are afterwards and then spend unending time talking about them. And our first guest is here. I recognize him. Fadi, welcome. I don't think you need an introduction to anyone here. And I will turn the floor over to you. We have nothing that is on the agenda that we are going to specifically target at you. I guess if you'd like to spend a few words on introductions. And then I'd like to open it up to you for you to either ask us questions or vice versa. Okay. It's going to be very informal today.
Well, good morning to you. It's good to be here. It's good to see all of you. First, just my congratulations to Alan. It's the first ICANN meeting where you're chairing this important body. Yesterday I described you two in a private meeting, but I can do it publicly here since you're both here, Olivier and Alan, as Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict. No, Benedict is alive. He may be hiding, but when someone asked me, so how do you feel about Alan's new role? I said, I think it's a perfect follow-on to the great work and foundation that Pope John Paul II here, Monsieur Leblanc, has established. And the reference was largely, as you know, because Pope John Paul II was the Catholic Pope that kind of expanded the reach of the Church in ways that will affect the Church, I think, for centuries to come. Just it's amazing his reach and how much he traveled, how much he reached out, how much he brought. And then Benedict came. He didn't want to leave the Vatican. I mean, he was just a completely different person. He just said, okay, now I need to kind of take this to the next level and deepen the roots of this massive... I think both of you did a little bit of both, but it was just my joking way to explain the difference in styles. Nothing to do with your beard or your white hair or any of that.
You came close. It's Alan speaking. You came close to saying what I was going to say, but you didn't hit the right criteria. I was selected because we're trying to balance height over the years.
That too. Anyway, congratulations, Alan. I'm sure all of you, like me, are delighted to see both of them at the table. That's the testament to the kind of organization you are, to have your leaders engaged and remain fully here. So Look, ICANN 52, given the weather outside, frankly, I would have rather this been in Marrakesh, to be honest. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day, Aziz. And we will be there, we will be there. In fact, I'm trying to come to Rabat as soon as I can, hopefully in next couple of weeks, God willing, I will be there. But in the meantime, you know, we will meet and have another chance to enjoy this wonderful country and wonderful people. You should see how they dealt with us over that change. I don't know if any other people would have done the same. Aziz was gracious despite enormous pressure. Enormous pressure. Really, he was getting pressured from all sides. But anyway, that's for another day, Aziz. Thank you for being here and continuing your commitment to this community. Look, we're facing a very, very important time, and ALAC's engagement, substantive engagement in the discussion about how ICANN will proceed through this transition is most valuable. Between us here in this room, you know, all the days and times of a distant past now of people questioning the value of ALAC and these guys who are not really the contracted parties. My goodness, through this transition, the substance of what you are putting on the table, the professionalism with which you are bringing down the issues. I mean, I now quote some of the things you are doing in the transition to other groups, say, look, this is a group that is committed, deeply committed to this. And as I said in an interview I just did with an outlet, that it's not the U.S. ending that contract that makes us who we want to be. If that contract ends or doesn't end, it will end, but it's not what makes us who we are. It's how we get there and how we behave through that process that the world will remember once this contract is done. And you are very substantive in getting us to the right place there. So I want to thank you for this. And I know it is taking a lot of oxygen from many other things we want to be doing. And therefore, one of the arguments I use when people say, well, let's take our time. What's the rush? Let's take another 2 years. Let's take another year. Absolutely, I don't want to rush this because I don't want to just end the U.S. contract for the sake of ending it. I want to do the right thing like all of you, all of us. But at the same time, I mean, the longer we take to get this done, the longer everything else on our agenda is pretty much on hold. So let's balance these things and be thoughtful about getting our work done thoughtfully, well, but also not spending the next 2 years on this. Really, we have, I mean, let me give you an example of something you are very focused on, which is the safeguards and the public interest commitments. I mean, where's the oxygen on that issue? We're fighting for oxygen on that issue. And meanwhile, quite frankly, contracts are being signed and the machine is moving. And we want to, hey, hold on a little bit. And I know you're talking to the GAC, as you should, and I support that. So I think it's important we put all these things in context and move forward. I would say with the footsteps of a determined community, not the dragging footsteps of people who just think we have all the time in the world. We don't. We don't. And politically, once we hit the early part of 2016 and the U.S. electoral process is in full swing, I'd have a very hard time getting attention from the White House or anybody. They'd be very busy with their world. So we don't have people who are saying we have all the time in the world. I don't think we have all the time in the world. Let's be candid. One thing I want to inform you of, Alan. Sorry to do this on the fly, but this is a meeting that happened this morning, and I will speak to this in my opening remarks. Everybody's talking about ICANN sans the U.S. government, right? What is ICANN without the U.S. government? How can we have confidence in an ICANN without the U.S. government? right? Because they don't know us. They don't know you. The people who are making these comments in the Wall Street Journal don't know who is ICANN. They think ICANN is me or ICANN is the board. They don't know that this is ICANN. But one of the things that I believe strengthens confidence is to make sure that when our decisions are being balanced at the ICANN leadership level and at the ICANN board, for example, that these decisions are always rooted in the public interest. That's a way to build confidence, right? Because what is it that people are worried about? They're worried about a government controlling ICANN, or a group of governments controlling ICANN, or frankly, a business interest controlling ICANN, or a group of business interests. That's what people are worried about. And how will they control ICANN? Where's the control point? Where is the neck? The neck is the board, right? At the end of the day, that's where the decisions get approved. And therefore, it is very important that our board remains clear that our fiduciary responsibility is not to the state of California only. It is to the state of California because we are a California corporation, and the Attorney General of California, Camila, could come at us and remove the board. She has the power to remove the board if we're corrupt or we're not doing our work. But we're ICANN. We're not just a regular corporation. Therefore, our fiduciary responsibility is to our community as well, and to the multi-stakeholder approach and model of our community. And we need to be clear about that. Therefore, decisions must be rooted in the community interest and the global public interest. And so on that, I'm going to call for a meeting tomorrow evening in my room or somewhere wherever I can find a room for the leaders of the community who care about the issue of safeguards and PICs. And let's have a lively debate. I'll invite the relevant board members and let's talk about it. Let's stop talking to each other, at each other about it. Let's sit down and have an adult talk about it. We cannot keep signing contracts as if the machine is just moving, sorry. We have to think about what it means when you tell me, you know, you've got to be careful who you give the doctor to. And, you know, the registry says, well, we signed the contract. Nobody told us we have to be careful. Now you're telling me you be careful. You're changing my business plan. They have interests. You have my job as a leader at ICANN is to listen to both sides and to do the right thing for the public interest. And we will start by doing it, not just talking about it. So please, I'm asking ALAC, who's very vocal on this issue, and I commend you for that, to actually pick one or two representatives to meet with me. I'm going to invite people from the GNSO, people from the GAC and others, and I'll invite relevant board members and my top team so we sit down and listen to each other, all of us, and figure out how to solve that. I'm not going to finish by thanking you again, as usual, for all the things you do. The new ALS is congratulations, but more importantly, the advice you continue to give us, the Atlas II recommendations, which I received a note from you that we should pay attention to your board member. Is she here, Renalia? Okay, your board member, by the way, is doing a yeoman's work. She's superb. She knows exactly how to balance her representation of you as well as her being a board member. And again, this is an issue. I want to say it one more time. A lot of board members are always, well, am I representing ALAC or am I a board member? There shouldn't be a dichotomy between these two. Yes, of course you represent ALAC. There's no shame in that. You are the ALAC elected representative. And yes, you are a board member, and you will pay attention to the fiduciary responsibilities of a board member. But at the same time, you and I, Renalia, are committed to the public interest. That's what unites us. And so this is clear, and she's doing a very good job at that balance. So thank you for sending her to us. And I assure you that she's the one who reached out to me on the Atlas II recommendations, and I'm listening. And I don't want to throw the book at you. I want to do the right thing. So if we sit down together, when you're ready, Alan, with your team, and we say, hey, these are things staff can start moving. I don't want 500 people to tell me what the right thing is to do. If we agree these are the right things to do, let's just move on them. And let's start being productive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fadi, on several counts. Just to comment on the Atlas recommendations, we had some glorious plans out of Atlas that have sort of been sidetracked to a little bit because of all the IANO and accountability work, and we're not forgetting them, but the progress is somewhat slower than had they would plan. But we will be talking about it at the board meeting a little bit, and there will be ongoing work.
Good.
It's perhaps sadly, but nevertheless, not our highest priority right now. So
that's okay.
I'm very encouraged by the news that you gave us today. The way going forward on these picks is not going to be easy. To be quite candid, we've boxed ourselves into a corner that doesn't give us a lot of outs. But I'm encouraged that we're looking for whatever options we have at this point. So thank you.
Yes.
And we will participate. I have nothing particularly on my agenda. I'd like to open it up. Do you have any questions for us that you'd like to raise? And I know we already have some speakers who want to speak first. Vonda.
Yes. Hi, Fadi. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Vonda. How are you?
Thank you. Well, considering what we just talked, we are having a very difficult time explaining many calls to myself, just because people know that I'm engaged, but about what is going on the new GTLDs.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there is a lack of advertising, marketing, wherever.
I see.
At least in South America.
Yeah.
And this maybe even the biggest guy that just apply for the new GTLD.
Yeah.
Inside their big companies, there is also lack of information.
Yeah.
And they still going talk and call me and what is my commitment with my clients and what is going to do that and how can I say this or how can I explain that? So it's something that I'm seeing that we still lack information in the third world.
Everywhere, even here. Actually.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I can just speak for South America that I'm in touch with. But I don't know. We need more engage for ICANN to the communication around. And even for Lac Rallo people, we don't have much conditions to touch in many countries the press.
Yeah.
So we need more and more some engagement from the ICANN to help us to explain things to the population.
So, Vonda, let me react quickly.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. This is an area where we are trying to find a balance. What is the balance? ICANN cannot become a trade association for the GTLDs. It is not our business. If we're seen as an organization going out, GTLDs, they say, wait a second, why are you doing this? Are you doing this too? So, but you are right. There is a balance between saying, we're just going to, do applications and take money and do our work in the background, and saying we are not going to at all explain to the consumer, which is part of our responsibility, what are the benefits of all of this and why it's happening. So, to be quite frank, we've been very, very, very busy with getting the program up and running. And for all practical purposes, the program is now up and running. We just put the 500th new GTLD in the route. So that's a good thing. Having said that, we are having the first meeting in a long time with the Domain Name Association called DNA. This is the first time I was one of the people who initially pushed them to happen, and they happened. Thankfully, they're now standing and moving. But now they asked me, hey, can you meet with us so we can figure out how we can, quote-unquote, cooperate? So I'll meet them for the first time with Akram, and we'll see what we can do. But I'm going to take action, so I asked you if you could capture this. Let's think together whether the ALSs could be an interesting partner here that actually does not go out and do advertising for the GTLD, but rather does what I would call consumer awareness in a positive way about why these new GTLDs can help the consumer in a good way. But then you need materials. I mean, you need people to give you materials in Spanish and in Portuguese and in French and in different languages that explain the program. Why is it good for the public? So let's take note of that. I will ask Sally, to follow up with Vanda and with you on an idea of how we could potentially work together. This is not urgent, but I'll add it to our list, and it's something we... Did I understand the issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the problem. Sorry, Vanda. It's just about what the population needs to know.
Right.
You know, and the users
yes.
needs to know about the new GTLD. What the hell is that? And there is a benefit to that, or should I be, you know, afraid about it?
Thank you. We have 8.5 minutes left, 5 speakers already in the queue, and that means 10 for giving Fadi a moment to answer. So keep interventions very short, please. Evan next.
Thanks. Evan Leibovich, acting chair of Naralo. Hi, Fadi. I want to follow up on this, on the issue of, you know, having the domain name association separate and all that, and the challenge that you have of sort of making some distance between them. Recently, when you did a media interview and you called attention to the duplicate domains and you called, you know, that maybe just maximizing the number of domains out there for its own sake isn't the best thing, you immediately got pushback from parties that said that ICANN was biting the hand that fed it and so on. And this goes to some of your earlier comments about, you know, about talking about putting that distance and, you know, and being perceived as being in the public interest. What are the challenges that you face in trying to make that distance in the public eye? And one other small comment that goes to the PIC issue, and that is, as you know, this has been on ALAC's plate for a long time. It was only when we did the desperation action of calling for a freeze that this seemed to get anyone's attention. Can you think about ways that we can get your attention that aren't quite so drastic? This has been on our plate for a long time. So this is as much process as anything. If something's really important to us, how can we do that without having to sound to go to an act of desperation like that? Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. And
the quick answer to your second question is called Cassia. She can get my attention. If really things are burning you, of course use the community processes, but please do let me or Akram know to get our attention on something where you feel frustrated. You see, you can't come to me on everything. But if you're frustrated, which you said you got to before you did the desperate part, please, our community should not reach level of frustration. And I don't know. Now, of course, I have a million things coming at me. So I have to look at the million things and say, okay, which one do we give attention to? But it is my job. At the end of the day, if you think you're getting frustrated as a community, send me a strong letter, send me a strong signal, send it to the board if you wish as well. But I react. I don't overreact, but I react. And we shouldn't have, but at the same token, Evan, I don't think it should have gotten to me holding a dinner tomorrow night. It shouldn't.
I understand. And just as a quick follow-up, this was no surprise. There's been multiple ALAC board meetings that you have attended where we have raised this and we got lectured as opposed to maybe we need to look at this.
I'm aware of this. I actually watched some of this occur and I'm not proud of it. So I'll be candid with you. But look, the attention is being given now, and I am focused on it personally. A lot of my oxygen, which was on internet governance last year, is now squarely where it needs to be here. And so that's also good for all of us, I hope. And I will pay attention to this. I'm sorry. On your first point, it's a long answer, but I will simply say the pressures on me from the various parties. You didn't see what I got in letters because of that 10-second comment I made in Switzerland. But they're very, very mad at me for saying this, and I'm still feeling it. They're meeting me here. But frankly, I felt that this comment reflects how, for example, my mother feels, my brother feels, you feel. Normal people on the internet are concerned about some of these things. So that's my job to speak it. And I will continue to speak it.
Okay. Thank you, Fadi. May I ask, how much time do you have? Officially, you had four minutes left.
She runs everything.
5 minutes. Okay. We have five speakers in the queue.
So let's listen to all five. I'll take note, and then I'll...
Okay. Listen. So 30 seconds each, please. Siva. Glenn, will someone let him get to the microphone so we can... not use all the 30 seconds waiting.
Okay. Siva Subramanian from ISOC India Chennai ALS. And this is not a personal question as much as it seemed to be. You have tried to make changes. You have tried to bring about quite a lot of improvements. And that means changing the existing order of things, which sometimes tends to hurt somebody or a group of people. And when that happens, you are either limited in some way, or challenged, or you face some resistance, or even sometimes you are under pressure. Have there been any instance where you have been under pressure to do something that you don't want to do, or do not do something that you want to do?
Thank you. Tijani, next.
Alan, I know you are in a hurry, so it's a very short comment. I do agree with Vanda, and Fadi, you said it's not our our job. If it is for the public comment, for public interest, it's your job. It's the job of the...
Thank you, Tijani. Alberto?
Gracias, Alberto Soto. Espero entrar en...
Alberto Soto, I hope I will make it in 30 seconds. My contribution about what Vanda said, in Atacralo, we have been working with Rodrigo de la Parra. Based on what Vanda said, at Atacralo, we have been working with Rodrigo de la Parra ever since last year, the last meeting, and we will be covering mostly that through webinars with very specific subject matters for the whole region. We have selected the issues, and the first one will be in the first week in March. I'd like to work in synergy with the other RALOs so that we all do the same. Who will be participating? All the multi-stakeholders in our ecosystems. Thus, the communication that was needed, at least in our region, we are already disseminating the information. We will start closing this gap. 30 seconds.
Thank you very much. Fatima, next.
Thanks, Alan. This is Fatima for the record. Fadi, I am sure that you saw the different discussion in the different spaces about the Net Mundial initiative. And I know that you don't have time here, but I would like to know more about that initiative. And also, if you are planning to make a consultation about the community, ICANN community, about this initiative. Thank you.
And lastly, Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. Going back to the operating plan and strategic plan and budget, there is a significant component in this year's plan about the public interest. At the same time, there is, I think, one of the largest segments of the plan is to do with the Global Domains Division. And in, I quote, support the evolution of domain name marketplace to be robust, stable, and trusted. It's a two-part question. The first part is, what do you call a robust, stable, and trusted marketplace? Is that one where the registries, the registrars, are able to sustain themselves, in which case you are helping them with their business and making sure their business is doing well? Or is that one where the identifier system needs to be robust, stable, trusted by end users I think there's a something I didn't quite understand in that. And the second part of my question is in regards to the PICs, the public interest commitments. We have been repeatedly told that we're already way too far down the line, having signed contracts and so on with registries, to go back and unilaterally change contracts. To the extent that it appears that ICANN is more shy about engaging into changing the contracts than into pushing for the public interest at all costs. And I wanted to have your thoughts on that. Thank you.
I'll go backwards, Olivier. On the, it's never too late to do the right thing. If we take the attitude, oh, sign the contracts, that's wrong. So let's, as leaders, start talking about what we need to do to actually answer your, also your first part of your question, to make sure that this industry looks robust, looks stable, right? That's part of it. If that industry is not rooted in the right values and principles and public interest, it looks like a wobbly industry, right? So part of robustness is people look at this industry and say, this is an industry that is serious about what it's doing and communicates well what it's doing and is rooted in that. So on the issue of too late, I think nothing is ever too late to do the right thing. So let's not focus on process. I don't want to throw the book at ALAC or anybody else. I want to do the right thing. I'm committed to this. You know I'm committed to this. And I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm going to do something about it. So let's start the process in earnest. Let's not imagine that overnight I can take registry and registrar businesses and turn them upside down. I don't think you want to do that. You just want to get the right thing into that market. Yes, robust, stable, and trusted. It doesn't mean that I want to make their businesses multi-million dollar businesses that are profitable. That's not my business. My business is to make sure that if consumers come to that industry, their interaction with it is a trusted interaction. Their interaction with them is a good interaction. And that means I need to do good compliance on them. That means I need to do good communications about what they do and what they can't do. That means I do pay attention to the PICs, etc. So we have quite a bit of work to do because this industry is about to explode. It hasn't started yet. In many ways, there are a few million registrations, but this thing is going to explode. And when it explodes, ICANN needs to be there and ready to keep it as a trusted industry, right? Fatima, NMI is a separate entity now. ICANN is one of the supporters of it. And I have very good news that they just announced that the president of Costa Rica agreed to host their first council meeting. So the first inaugural council meeting of Net Mundial Initiative will be in Costa Rica on March 31st. If the ICANN community wants to engage in the Net Mundial activities, and by the way, I'm on the record, but it doesn't matter. I think if there is a group in ICANN that should pay close attention to what the issues of Net Mundial will be, it's you. Almost more than any other group, because these are all the non-number and names related issues that will start to be addressed, all the privacy issues, all the security issues, all the human rights issues, all the cyber terrorism issues, all of that is going to be addressed there. And therefore, take a good look at it. The ambassador of Net Mundial who is here is Wolfgang Kleinwachter. You all know Wolfgang. So I've been encouraging him to have meetings with the community and spend time. I won't. I'm done. I need to focus on my work here. I did my part. And the community now has a venue. And I hope you use it. It's a good venue. That's where I stop on NMI. Thank you, Fatima. Mr. Soto, it's good to see you here again. I'm glad you stayed with us, and I hope you stay for a long time with us. I was very touched by your comments the first time I met you, and I'm happy to see you're working with De La Parra to figure out how we can serve the community and communicate better to the community. Your contribution is appreciated by me and by many of your colleagues. Thank you. Thank you for your comments there. Tijani, we will find the balance. It's not an easy balance, but it requires us to all be working together. This is not about me. This is about all of us committed to that. It's not easy, you know that, but I'm committed to that. And finally, Siva, I just want to tell you, have I been asked sometime, have I backed off? I will simply tell you a story that you may have heard me say before. When I was 18, I was put on a lorry by my father to escape from the war, and I did not see him for years after that, because that lorry drove me to Damascus, and I took a flight from there, and I immigrated. And as my dad put me on that lorry, and he didn't know the lorry driver, he literally stopped him in the middle of the street as the bombs were falling. He said, take my boy out of here, and gave him money to just drop me in Damascus. I was 17 and a half, and my dad told me, stick to your principles. And as I'm leaving, I'm telling him, what are these, Dad? He said, you should know them by now. Don't ask me what your principles are. But these principles that you've grown up with, stick with them. And yes, this is the first job in my life where these principles get really challenged. I've been CEO and led many companies. I never had these moments where I was, oh my God, do I really have to do this? Because that is, and so no, if my principles, which are mine, my personal commitments to myself, to the community, I don't compromise on these. On everything else, frankly, I'm willing to compromise. And some people criticize me for that. But I'm flexible. I'm willing to change. If I make a mistake, I admit it and I move on. But my principles, no. And the principles that I learned at ICANN, my principles at ICANN have actually become stronger and bigger, because it's not just about me and my commitment to my father and my family, it's my commitment to all of you as I'm facing some difficult, difficult decisions every day, and they're getting more difficult, unfortunately, because of the pressure on ICANN right now. So, doing my best, but never easy. And I ask you to call me on it. When you see me stepping out of these principles, call me on it. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you very much, Fadi. We now have global stakeholder engagement. As Fadi has been talking, Heidi has been passing me notes about who's going to be next, not quite knowing who's showing up in what order, and it's only changed three times in the last 10 minutes. I welcome you and turn the floor over to you.
This is quick for the record. It's your luck that you're stuck with me. You could have gotten glamorous people like Sally and Tariq. You have me and the rest of the GSE team for now. So first and foremost, before I get into the substantive issues, a warm welcome back to Singapore. We did not expect this, and it is our intent to make sure that we go across all the regions and make sure all the regions have the opportunity. Now that we're here, we are happy that we will have another AP Railo showcase, showcasing the diversity of the region. There are many important things to discuss at this meeting. The gravity of the issues at hand warrants a lot of attention to the discussion that is going to take place in the past few days and the weeks in the week to follow. So if there is anything that the team based here can do for this group, feel free to reach out to me or anyone else on the team while you're here. So that's the opening spiel. I know we have a packed agenda, and I know that you have two questions that were given to us in in advance. Maybe I can suggest this way to structure our time. We'll start by addressing some of the questions, and that will give us some momentum for a discussion. I'm sure there are other questions beyond these two that you would like to ask my colleagues and myself, but maybe we'll start with question one to begin with. I believe Tarek and Sally are coming in from another meeting. I think Tarek will be in an excellent position to answer question two as well. So we'll start with question one, which is about what kind of opportunities are there for the global stakeholder engagement team? Oh, Tarek is here. I'll answer question one, and I'll pass things over to Tarek for question two. And the community, specifically the at-large community, can work more closely together. I think this question is very close to my heart. Many of the members here from the Asia-Pacific community would have worked with Save, myself, and also my colleague Kelvin Wong. Kelvin is right now at the newcomer session. It's the nature of the ICANN meetings where everyone is split everywhere. But I think coming from as early as the London meetings, ICANN 50, the AP Relo and ourselves have been trying to work out what is the best way for us to have a focused approach so that we work on our resources together and we best serve our community. So when we started off at the London meeting, the focus was on looking at setting common focus regions. Where can we find synergies between the objectives of ALAC as well as the Asia-Pacific hub based in Singapore with its network across the region? And there was a consultation that happened there. I'm very happy that when we moved over to the Los Angeles meetings, we were able to determine the key priorities and the deliverables that we want to be held accountable for in terms of working things out. Now, there are certain action items that we streamlined to make sure that, you know, things are not conducted in an ad hoc fashion, that we commit the resources needed to follow through on the projects. And we boiled down to three specific projects. One is on the language localization needs of the region. If you look at the Asia-Pacific community, we are a community of great diversity in terms of languages. If you look at India itself, I mean, if you think of the official languages, offhand, I think there are 22 official languages, and these are only the official languages. There are other languages beyond that. That was one priority that we identified, that if we want to reach out to different communities in the region, speaking in six UN languages just isn't enough. The second thing that we wanted to do with is to continue on the capacity development work, and what does that mean specifically from an ALAC perspective. From the Asia-Pacific Hub perspective, we are very lucky that we have Champika, who travels frequently around the region to conduct training on, you know, DDoS, how to prevent DDoS attacks, how do you set up DNSSEC. I think the concrete outcomes of his work is that, you know, after a training session on DNSSEC in Indonesia and a training session in Vanuatu, both CCTLDs have went on to deploy DNSSEC. So I think we are getting very concrete outcomes from the training resources that are put in. But from an ALAC perspective, what are we going to do together? So that's the action item number two. The action item number three is, of course, to continue on our existing work on outreach and awareness. And this obviously is one of the core focus of the global stakeholder engagement team. So there are great synergies that we can find there. I think on the language, I would like to report on some results that we have, and we don't have the expectation that we're going to solve all the problems overnight. But with the language localization toolkit, with our new friends from I believe ISOC Delhi. I'm not sure if I'm. Yeah, we have translated basic materials of ICANN into the Hindi language. I think Jahangir has been working on translating the language localization toolkit into Bangla as well. So if you go to Bangladesh, I think we're often reminded that this is the seventh most populous nation in the world, and yet at the same time, you know, I'll speak very honestly, we've never had our materials out in Bangla. So these are the concrete things that have been done. I think what is great as well is that we are identifying synergies between what is originating from the ALEC and AP RELO with the players outside. So the language localization toolkit was born from a collaboration between KISA in Korea, the Korea Internet and Security Agency, with the APEC Hub, but it's being made use of in AP RELO at ALEC as an example. But also beyond AP RELO, we have had IDIGF, mostly based in Jakarta, Indonesia, who has translated the deck into Bahasa Indonesia as well. So I think that there's great progress. I think there is definitely scope for more contents to be added onto the language localization piece, and certainly more languages. And while this initiative has started in Asia Pacific, by no means should it only be limited to the region. We're hoping that when we find some mature fruit that we can share experiences across the regions. The second thing on capacity development, I think we're now working very closely together with AP RELO, and on Wednesday we have our meeting. And the thinking about this is starting with a series of webinars in the region as well. And I'm conscious of the time. I think I've gotten into a little bit more detail than I had initially hoped. But also on the outreach and awareness pieces, where we obviously have the CROP program that I think, you know, warrants further discussion on how we can better coordinate to meet the objectives. But that's an example. And this time I'm very happy that for our region, Satish and Maureen will be representing us 2 weeks later at the Apricot meetings in Fukuoka. So that's only what we have in the Asia Pacific region. Let me see if there are any of my colleagues from the other regions who would like to jump in with their points, and then I'll hand things over to Tarek to talk about government engagement. Rodrigo?
Hi. Hello, everybody. Given that we have some interpretation now, I can... I'm going to be switching to Spanish, if you don't mind. So if you want to wear your headsets.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rodrigo de la Parra speaking for the records. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you and sharing this time and seeing that you have great activity and interaction among the at-large people, the regional leadership, of course. And what happens with these meetings that have been carried out for some years now is that we are now able to inform about concrete initiatives with the participation and engagement of people, particularly from LACRALO, from my region. And in the past, we have been talking about the leadership of Fatima and Dev in the communications project with a lot of advancements. And on Monday, we will have a very useful and interesting presentation of a regional web page about ICANN and its community. So if you have time, we encourage you to attend that meeting. It will be in this room on Monday, and I hope you can attend that meeting because we are very proud of that. And you should do that because this was led by LACRALO people. And as I said before, Alberto, before, we had a shared or joint projects. We are trying to deal with initiatives coming from LACRALO, such as the webinars that are being implemented, focused on different levels of knowledge regarding different topics. And with Vanda, she's leading the LAC space strategy, and we are in our fourth edition of this Lack of Space. This has been very successful. So thank you very much, Vanda, for that. And we are moving forward when it comes to the crop program. We are still working on the initiative. We have this global initiative by ICANN, and we are working together with Lac Rallo people, and we have the initiative of the strategic plan, and we are joining synergies to not to duplicate, but to join efforts. When it comes to the crop program, we are using that platform, but we are also having an additional event or an additional trip that might be supported by the strategic plan. But, of course, taking into account the guidelines and rules of the crop program, because we are working on that joint platform. And the idea is to keep on adding people to the strategies. We have online webinars, update webinars. We invite people to Lac Rallo calls. We also have specific sessions where we can say and show the opportunities that we have. And, of course, we report that back to the community. So these are very interesting sessions. We are moving forward. We have good intentions, but also concrete actions. And we also have questions regarding how can we engage in a better way with the GSC. And the idea or the question now is how we will move forward. The question now is, what is the proposal? What else can we do? And these are the things we're working. So that's all for my part. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tarek, I think we'll turn it over to you now. The question that was asked is, can you give us a briefing, obviously an overview, since we don't have several days, on how you interact with the regional governments, how you enhance government relations, and with a focus specifically on developing countries. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Alan, for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here this morning and to address this distinguished group. Indeed, the role of governments at ICANN is evolving, and hence our engagement with governments is also evolving accordingly. The structure that ICANN, governments really participate at ICANN through is primarily the GAC, as we all know. Just to give you a number, 10 years ago we had 40 members. Today we have 148 members in the GAC with 32 observers, even if not all of them are always active and all of them are attended. But this shows that there is an immense interest from governments in participating at ICANN and in playing a bigger role in shaping the public policies at ICANN and contributing and providing the right advice to the board. This was not least due to the evolution of the GTLD program that really has raised the awareness about ICANN specifically in the developing country and has motivated many governments in the developing countries to participate and to be part of the decision-making process at ICANN within the last 4 or 5 years. Before that, when it was just a mere technical operation that is not touching their interest, I think the participation has been much lower. But before we talk about our engagement programs very specifically that we do in coordination with the GSE program, as a GE team, I want to also mention a couple of observations that we see that are changing the landscape of the internet governance globally and are affecting ICANN very specifically. In addition to what I have mentioned concerning the increase of participation at the GAC and the grower interest at ICANN. We see an immense dominance of cybersecurity agenda on many cyber agendas on a national level. This goes in the developing world, but also, unfortunately, in the developed world. It is becoming the top priority for governments as such. And the question then becomes to all of us as a community, including us as a government engagement and GSE team from governments, how far can you help me? And definitely ICANN has its own remit, and we don't want to expand the remit outside the DNS security. and the security of the DNS system and DNSSEC, as we do through programs, workshops, and regional workshops that we do to the GTD. But this is definitely not always a satisfying answer to many governments, because specifically in the developing world, they want to see us playing a growing role as ICANN, which the board actually does not, and ICANN leadership does not. But they are pushing us to play a bigger role in this direction, because they are looking for a simple answer to their solutions and problems, a one-stop shop. Maybe in the developed world, it's a little bit more different. There is more awareness, but still, the problem is there. The next observation that we see is that there is a shift of decision-making within governments from individual governments more to regional fora and regional councils. Why? The agenda is becoming very complex of internet governance at large, and even ICANN as well. And due to the lack of human resources, many governments start to rely on their neighbors. So let's listen what the neighbors are saying. Maybe they have a solution. Maybe they can help. And if not, then go to the neighbors of the neighbors. Where do they end at the end? In the regional council and the regional forum. Whether they are technical, whether they are foreign affairs, whether they are trade. This happens at the European Union. This happens at the Arab Council of Ministers. This happens at the African Union, in CITEL, in Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and. So we see a clear shift of decision-making that is going towards regional fora, and unfortunately this is an opportunity, but this is also a threat for our engagement, because this is a decision-making process that is being established outside the GAC to a great extent and on a different level. The third observation that we are seeing within governments themselves, a shift of the decision-making from the technical agencies and the technical regulators and the technical ministries to include at least foreign affairs as well as security agencies as well. And in many other opportunities, the file of IG, including ICANN issues, is starting to be handled from Prime Minister's office and the alike. So this is also putting further pressure on us on government engagement while we move forward in our engagements, and we need to make care of that. But it's not always responsibilities and pressures. It's opportunities as well. We see a positive shift towards the growth in internet utilization by adding 2 billion users within the next 4 or 5 years from non-OECD countries. So the utilization is clearly shifting towards the south and the east. So the internet utilization is becoming less Western-centric, which creates opportunities for this part of the world as well, not only to governments but other stakeholders to start to play a role in shaping the future of internet governance, including ICANN as well, which is a legitimate, actually, desire and is positively to be considered. And here, definitely, ELAC can also help us and play a role. We also see a know-how diversification about core internet management issues. Things that 10 years ago during the WSIS, and many people here, Alan and Benjuma and Olivier and many friends who were there, as such, that were limited only to a group of elite academic people that are coming from the West about running root servers and core management functions, are available today in Europe and Asia and other places of the world. If you couple that with financial capabilities and political will, this could change things on the facts on the ground while we are moving, moving forward. Our focus in government engagement this year is on two things: the IANA transition process, and to provide support to the IANA transition process, to the ICG and the cross-community working group, as well as the subgroups of the ICG, the naming community working group, as well as the other two groups who have finished their work in providing the GAC and through the GAC the necessary support as ICANN staff to advocate for the proposal whenever it is ready, and before that to advocate for the process in order to make sure that it is an inclusive global process, because this provides it with legitimacy and transparency. This is definitely a difficult job, because if we need to do that and raise the awareness on a wider level, that's not easy. The other one is the UN General Assembly meeting, which is coming at the end of the year as such, and which unfortunately is coinciding with the outcome of the IANA process, whatever it is. So there will be repercussions, whether positive or negative, on that process, and we need to take that into consideration and prepare as a community, not only in government engagement, very carefully, although the decision will be taken by an intergovernmental process that is convening. We are empowering our outreach at capitals together with the GSE team and the regional vice presidents, whether in Asia, in Africa, in Eastern Europe, in Europe and Latin America and other places in the world. But we are also empowering our presence in Geneva and New York with outreach to the missions. We have now the Geneva office where we outreach to the IGOs and to the missions, because at the end, these are the people, specifically in New York, that will close the door and will take a decision about the future of the WSIS renewal and about the future of the IGF in an intergovernmental process. They accept input, and there is a process. We'll try to help to make it multi-stakeholder as much as possible and to work with other organizations and other colleagues and other stakeholders to make it multi-stakeholder. But it is a fact that it is an intergovernmental process, and we need to work on their awareness, specifically that ambassadors in New York are more politicized. They are not used to the multi-stakeholder model, and they bargain issues mainly based on, as they are used in the peace process and Security Council, on non-technical and non-technical issues. So this is a fact. It's different than Geneva and the team in Geneva of IGOs that we are dealing with, but it was clear to us and to ICANN's management that we need to expand the outreach, and that's what we are doing. We are talking to them, and they are giving us feedback, as we call it, a one-stop shop in two locations in Geneva and New York, which complements the feedback that we get from the capitals as well, in order to be able to draw an overall strategy for ICANN while we move forward in government engagement and in collective positions. We'll not be able to do that alone. We need the support of the community. We need the support of other stakeholders, specifically when we talk to governments. We need the support of civil society. We need the support of private sector. As such in the developed but as well in the developing countries. And more we can develop the DNS industry in the developing world, the more and more we will see that the government engagement at ICANN is becoming more and more pragmatic, business-based, and meaningful, not based on emotions, not based on political position, not based on cultural position, but based on business terms, defending business aspects as it is happening in other parts of the world. So we are not a big team at the government engagement. We are only five, but we work very closely with the team of Sally and the regional vice presidents and make use of their time and capacities, and the regional teams that are there complement each other. We have an engagement plan with the GAC for our outreach, and we look forward what we can do together with the ELAC in order to empower our outreach and engagement specifically to achieve those two strategic topics that the board has identified for us this year and the management has identified for us this year as strategic concerning the government engagement at ICANN. Thank you very much, and I'm glad to take any comments or questions.
Thank you very much, Tarek. Before we go to questions, are there any other of the regional VPs in the room who would like to make any short comments? We have 11 minutes right now, and already one speaker request. But if there's anyone else who would like to make a short, anything else to add quickly, please do.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jean-Jacques Sahel. I'm Regional Vice President for Europe, and I know many of you. And many of you I see a lot. I see Olivier a lot, for instance. He's sometimes my cameraman for the events we co-organize. There's Julia and Wolf and Sandra we work a lot with together. So nice to see you all. And I actually don't want to talk about Europe as much as I want to talk to you briefly. I've got 11 minutes, but I won't take all that, I promise. I want to talk to you about our civil society engagement, which has got a direct link with our engagement with ALAC and ALS chapters. My role is, beside Europe, is to coordinate our engagement with civil society worldwide. And that's where we realize that as we develop activities with civil society, We would be remiss if we did not take the opportunity to do more with ANAC and ANS chapters. And so, effectively building on our experience of working with the likes of the people I've just mentioned, what we're looking to do is engagement that is targeted at civil society, not just on the ANAC transition, but including basically to try and reach out to these communities. And what we'd like to do is increasingly do that as joint events involving the ALS chapters. So as a very concrete example, I have just reached out a few days ago to Sandra and Wolfgang and a few others to talk about a possible such event in Berlin sometime in the next few weeks, probably in late March or April, where we will have, in any case, a workshop on INS stewardship transition open to all stakeholders. But then on the back of that, what we were thinking is to do an event that's slightly broader in terms of substance and topics, and where we would very much like to have involvement from the ALSs. So Jimmy Schultz is also involved in that. And I think hopefully it can serve as a bit of a pilot. And the idea would be that we try and gather the various German-speaking ALSs, so not just Germany, but also Switzerland and Austria, and try and energize that community around a set of ICANN and internet governance-related topics. So we'll develop that over the next few weeks with those friends I've mentioned, and I think hopefully if that goes well, I'd very much like to try and improve the format and use that. I've got thoughts for doing it in places in Europe, just because I happen to be based there. So things like places like the Netherlands, London, Copenhagen. But based on the first few experiences that we'll have, then it would be something that we'd love to roll out regionally. And for the world generally, I should also mention that we now have a dedicated team within, a sort of sub-team, if you will, within the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group, which is dedicated to civil society engagement. And within that, what we would very much like is we would comprehend civil society in the wider sense, if you will, so that we encompass ANS chapters. So there's one member of each of our regional teams in LATAM, in Asia Pac. Rodrigo is here for LATAM, and we'll all start to develop, to ramp up our activities in this for this engagement with the civil society and ALS chapters. So expect to see more of us, and I would very much encourage you to just come to me proactively, give me ideas, and start thinking about your ALS chapters and how best to reconnect with them. I think the idea is, you know, we will give them meat, so to speak. We'll give them something to do and try and empower them and energize them by going to them, and then hopefully, in the long term, it could be self-sustaining. So I just wanted to give you a heads up and just encourage you to link up with me with any ideas you might have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sally Costerton has managed to extract herself from whatever the last meeting she was in and come here. We appreciate you making it, if you have a few words.
Well, we have a short time left in the session, so I want to go to questions. But I apologize very much for being a little bit late. Yes, the agendas already seem to be all over the place, which is a bit worrying because we haven't really officially started the meeting. But anyway, I wanted to just let you know, on top of what Jean-Jacques is telling you, which is a relatively new initiative for us in the engagement team, building on what is now a complete regional framework around the world. This is really phase two, is deepening that to focus on a matrix, if you like, on specific stakeholder groups. And this is designed to provide a kind of dual point of access and a bit more expertise and specialism within what is now quite a large staff team. And I hope that you will work with not just with your regional vice president, but in your particular interest area, whether you come from the technical community or the civil society group or the business group. And some of you will have worked with Christopher Mondini already quite extensively if you are your aspirations lie there. Separately, I wanted to let you know that actually during the Los Angeles meeting, again, many of you will know, and Alan was part of this process, We kicked off a series of roundtables with the global leadership team at ICANN and some of the leadership groups in the, well, all in fact of the leadership groups in the community. And this is the first, we're doing it again this time. I think it will probably become a part of ICANN meetings, which will cram the agenda even further, but that is a consequence of more engagement, sadly. And one of the things that came out of that was a recognition that Fadi and the global leadership team had when we reflected on what we'd heard, that it was time to create closer links between all the parts of the staff capability that, if you will, face the community. And so we've made some internal management, a slight rearrangement, to create a new coordination layer, which brings for the first time the policy team, who you know well, of course. Heidi is in this group, actually, sitting around the table here. So your voices, you will be pleased to know, are being heard even more loudly than they were before. You can absolutely rely on Heidi to represent your interests. The meetings team, the engagement team, the communications team, the digital engagement team under Chris Gift, and I think that's it. So we are now having, as it were, a kind of extra layer of coordination. And I wanted to make sure you knew that, because I do realize that sometimes it can get a bit stuck. This may have less of an issue for you here, because I think you have a very smooth relationship with staff, and I hope other groups do too. But I know that silos do exist in ICANN. We try to remove them, but we're doing everything we can to try and create those joining points, so that should be less of an issue in terms of we're looking at things more holistically. And that would include, for example, the oversight of the rollout of the meeting strategy working group plan, which quite a few of you on this table were deeply involved in. So that will not be handled in a silo. That will be handled in that environment. So I just wanted to give you that update. And thank you, as ever, for hosting us on this Sunday morning. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You used the term joining points. I'll share with you at a meeting a day or so ago the description that I think it was Fadi used, is that Sally and David Oliver now joined at the hip. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that's a particularly attractive description, but it is the one he used. So everything that we've heard today is very encouraging, and we look forward to making good use of the people we all have around the world to work together. So thank you. We have Satish and Tijani next, and then Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Satish Babu here from Epirelo. I have two quick observations. The first is on internationalization and language localization. I would like to thank Quick and his team for the excellent work done on these two this aspect. From the point of view of the ALAC IDN working group, I welcome the work done, and I also call for more work, because not only in South Asia, but different parts of the region, which is very diverse, I am referring to Asia Pacific, we need more work on language localization. I would also like to point out that the IDN working group asked for a slot during this meeting, but we're not able to meet, because there's no slot available, I think. So support, I would say, would also be enabling the, you know, things like meetings, basic things. So anyway, that's a very good work that you've done, and I hope it will continue. On the aspect of capacity development, again, good work has been done, and I'd like to place and record our appreciation for it. One of the things that the government of India has particularly liked was that in November, one of the ALSs started running an L route copy. And for some reason, the government came out in support. In fact, they tweeted. It's very rare on the government of India to do that. Now, if capacity building can extend to such things like enabling an ALS to run a copy of the root server, and if that helps to build bridges with the government, I think it's a very welcome step, and we should consider doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sally, do you want to take all the questions and then answers, or your call?
I think that one is specifically aimed at Quack, isn't it? Oh, there he is.
Can I appear? He appears. Thank you, Satish, for your intervention. This is Quek for the record. We are absolutely in line in thinking about L-root systems together. I think what was encouraging last quarter was that we had the first L-root instance in India in partnership with ISOC Kolkata. There were some issues in terms of bandwidth and choking, technical issues that we are trying to resolve. I think this is something that absolutely we can take up with NICSI as well, in terms of the resourcing and coming together. So this is something that is being looked at. I would also like to take this opportunity, because not everybody might be aware, that now we have a GSE team member based in New Delhi as well. His name is Samaran Gupta. Again, he's torn between here and a newcomer session. He's there. But at the AP Railo showcase, and hopefully at the AP Railo meeting on Wednesday, I'd be happy to introduce him as well. Thank you, Satish.
Thank you, Tijani. Next.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Jean-Jacques, I am really happy by your initiatives regarding civil society, and I hope you know that the community of at large is mostly civil society. So, as you proposed, I will perhaps propose that we will not be only involved in these activities, but also we will participate in the planning of such activities in the future. And perhaps we can imagine some coordination between our staff, wonderful staff, and your staff to coordinate those activities, and perhaps to build on them and to find other in the future. Thank you.
Merci, Tijani. Absolutely. If that wasn't clear for the Berlin pilot, as I mentioned, Jimmy and Sandra are very much involved in the planning, as is Wolfgang and Janita Hoffman, the Berlin academic. And I should also have mentioned that in our internal sub-team for civil society engagement, Heidi is also there. So we have that direct link already. So everything you said, we're already taking on board. So it's and thank you so much for that. I hope all of you around the table will come to us effectively and start thinking about what you'd like to do, and we'll make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Olivier?
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Capanablon speaking for the transcript. And I have two small questions. One for Tarek. You mentioned government engagement, and you engage with your team with governments in various fora. How does this relate to government engagement in the GAC? And what's the link between the two? Do you also refer governments to the GAC and so on? And the second question, just to make it faster, is to anyone in the team. The At-Large Summit has one recommendation number 21, which says encourage public campaigns on using the internet for education, information, creativity, and empowerment. Does this fall within the ICANN remit? And if it does, then does this fall within the GSE remit?
Thank you, Olivier, for the question. Indeed, this is a very important observation, and the ATRT2 had included in a 6-point recommendation, 6.8 and 6.9, a clear outline and a clear recommendation of how to enhance government engagement relation in the GSE team and in the GE team and the GAC. So we worked with a work group headed by Ahmad Hoballa from Lebanon and Anne Rachel and Nigel and Mandy and the whole team to prepare a couple of engagement recommendations that we have agreed upon together, presented to the GAC, approved by the GAC. And since then, with Thomas coming in and giving a great push together with his deputy chair for this, we have a monthly, very comprehensive report that we share with the GAC about the government engagement. We make sure that the GAC member is involved as much as we can in the government engagement at different ministries, even if it's not its own ministries. Indeed, it happens sometimes that we are not able to enforce the official X or official Y to have the GAC member. I mean, we say, but If he does not invite him at the end, then we are not able to enforce. But at least we keep him in the picture and we try to involve him as much as we can. And not only that, one of our major targets is also to recruit new GAC members. And it is due to different reasons, not only due to our efforts, that the number has been increased from even 60, 70 back in Prague in 2012 members to 148 members at the time being. But this applies as well to the IGOs. We are recruiting more and more IGOs to be observers in the GAC because this gives us some sort of recognition of the role of ICANN as well, and they see what we are doing exactly, and it helps us while we are moving forward. So we are coordinating now very closely with Thomas and his deputies. We have monthly calls. This was not the case in the past, but it is now a very structured coordination, and it's very necessary for the IANA as well.
Thank you. Tarek Olivier speaking. If I could just add, then I think it might be a good idea, because I've seen the work that's been done here. It might be a good idea, that's my personal feeling, that we could also do that with finding at-large structures, potential at-large structures that would be of a good quality, of a specific standard. I know that there are various fora out there that we sometimes cover through at-large structures, but sometimes we don't, and there's thousands of them out there, potential ones out there. So I don't know whether your team could also help on this.
No, one of the ideas that we can think about together, but we need to coordinate that, was Thomas, that during the IANA engagement plan, when the proposal is ready, at the end someone has to do the advocacy, not the staff itself. The staff will help in doing the advocacy. But then we will need the so-called senior ambassadors from the community to talk on behalf of the community and to go and meet officials in the governments in order to seek their non-objections. We will not be able to tour 150 capitals, but as well as key governments that have influence in regional role. And I think ELAC can help us in that by providing us with support in this direction. But as I said, this has to be closely coordinated with Thomas, and it might be a great idea because it sends a lot of signals.
We'll help you if you help us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, I will propose that to him, but if Alan also talks to him I think this would be fine. In my opinion, he will welcome it because he is looking for people to help him in the advocacy and the outreach on a government level because the scope is huge and the time is limited.
Thank you. Thank you, Tarek. I know there's been...
Sorry,
Olivier.
Olivier
yes.
Speaking. My second question.
Go ahead.
I think Sally remembers.
Sally, for the record. Yes, Olivier asked the question about the Atlas 2 recommendations around raising awareness of the using the internet for education.
Encourage public campaigns on using the internet for education, information, creativity, and empowerment.
Yes, and whether this was in ICANN's remit, and if it was, whether it was in the remit of this team, yeah? It's a very broad objective. I think it's probably the other way around in the sense that that is a bigger objective than the scope of ICANN and certainly the scope of this team. However, it's certainly true to say that a key objective of ICANN's engagement strategy is to broaden access to ICANN. I mean, this is really why we did this in the first place when we first came to ICANN, before then, with global partnerships. So in that sense, of course, it is necessary to raise awareness, and it is also necessary to find points of relevance, because just telling people that something exists is not going to, you know, they have to want to come. So finding the hook, the angle that is going to connect broader new stakeholders to ICANN is a very central part of what we do. Now, it's not just in this team. There's a very close coordination at this group, as I think most of you are aware, between this team and the communications team. Now, it is specifically in the remit of the communications team to raise awareness. Finally, I would say that Tarek has talked a couple of times about the work that we're all now handling around facilitating the engagement around the transition discussion, and it has been quite noticeable that the link between the multi-stakeholder model that we use here at ICANN to oversee our work, and that is used by the internet to oversee its work, is getting a much greater airing because of the transition discussions. And there are, you know, some challenges with that, not least of which, as you will very well know, many people in the world don't understand certainly they don't understand what we do, and they also don't understand how we do it, because it is very unfamiliar to many people. But equally, because of the focus that is on ICANN at the moment, it is a very useful mechanism to drive a much greater interest in how we do what we do and why it's so important for all internet users to pay attention to ICANN's remit. So we are taking that opportunity to try to get some way towards that goal.
Thank you, Sally. Olivier has asked for 10 more seconds to say something back.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Roulant speaking. That already takes five seconds of the 10. Do you have contacts at Bloomberg to congratulate them on their wonderful article about the INS stewardship transition?
One of the things that we are engaging with in the IANA Stewardship Transition Communications Plan, and it's a very serious point, this, is the need to engage bipartisan support in Washington, D.C. Those of you who are interested in such things, as they say, inside the beltway, this is not my specialist subject, I should hasten to add, although it is my team's specialist subject, not this team, apart from Chris Mondini. It is a challenge. It's a very different discussion, but it is a real challenge in D.C. to ensure that the voices that are getting behind the transition are not just on the left, or even, and that assumes that everyone on the left is supportive, and it assumes that everyone on the right is not supportive. But so far, as ever with these things, those who perhaps feel that they... how can I put this diplomatically? Can see no reason why anything should change, should we put it that way, tend to be typically more on the right side of US politics, and the publications that support those parties are being more vocal. So the lobbying strategy in Washington is being very closely linked to the media strategy. And anything that anyone in this group feels that they would like to help with, either in their own region or if they are involved in DC on these issues, do let me know, and I will, if they have particular relationships, particular expertise, we are always keen to, as Tarek was saying, make sure that we have visibility of that as we get into the next stage. Once there is a proposal, it will become, exactly as Tarek says, a moment. We will then move into an advocacy stage, because we will have a proposal that we want support for. Right now, we're advocating a good process, and this is a slightly different message. But I would like to start preparing that capacity as soon as we can. I'm conscious of time, Alan, and we are overrunning horribly. And we are being encroaching on your meeting, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Sally. Luckily, we're overrunning into a break, so we're just not going to give anyone an opportunity for a real break. Just one comment, Olivier. I was approached by the Bloomberg reporter to be interviewed to get a perhaps more balanced position on our side. So I thank you all for coming. I'm sure there are more questions and haven't had a chance, so maybe a few of you... Maybe a few of you can stick around for a few minutes into the coffee, but I thank you very much. Now, the next session after the break will be on the at-large review. This overlaps with a meeting. Could I have your attention for a moment, please? I guess not. This overlaps with a meeting with the CCWG Accountability and the Board. Several members, including Leon, I, and I suspect Tijani, will not be here. Olivia will be taking over that session.
Thank you. Also, just to let you know that coffee and pastries are out in the foyer area, and please to be back on time. We will be starting at 11 a.m. with the at-large review. Thank you.
banks have to go to the team of Michele. Well, no, he provided the resources. So,
Hello, how do you do? We have met before. Did we? No, I'm trying to think. Was it the Russian IGF in Moscow?
Yes,
the first Russian IGF in Moscow?
It's a long time ago.
I used to be a chairman of the city of Zenith, and I worked after myself last 2 years. After myself.
Okay.
But the authorization mechanism, I am away. I'm a director of the Classical Foundation. Community voted.
I was one of the people, and I saw the different. You heard, you got emails from the different people. Do you know them? Have you met them? Because there's
many
a few.
Of them.
I mean, there's Julia, who's
here.
Julia Moronets, she's here. And Pravina Popova was somewhere.
I think Sarah Hirsch might be here.
Yeah.
She has not.
But Plamina is not, or at least I didn't see her yet. And Oksana Prehotka,
she's not here.
We're friends, you know. That's good. I'm really, really pleased.
You know, we for years, yeah, I was chair for 4 years, and for 4 years I've been trying and thinking, well, we need someone in Russia. It really is important. We need an organization. It's such a huge continent, and it actually is has such a huge influence. And we now have Russian interpretation on the Uralokos. I don't know if you were aware, but we actually have Russian interpretation that we use. So this is, you know, this actually covers all of Eastern Europe now, and or you know, the ex countries that spoke Russian as a second language. And so it's something where we're really seeing a rise in interest in the countries.
And we are working in the direction of to give a lot of information as much as possible.
Yeah.
So we began translating Russian IMDF journal. The first, week ago, we had the first issue.
That's so there's two other organizations which I know of in Russia at the moment. There's Oleg the Demidov, he's not here, but then he hasn't. I mean, I spoke to him many years ago, and you know, he's a correspondent. He still has not applied for his organization. And another chap is Fedor. Fedor Smirnov, whom I saw last week. I was in Budapest last week, a lot colder than here. And I saw Fedor, and I saw Russia that they just started. They're very, very early on, they just started. But it would be interesting to see a lot more participation from people in Russia. If you have any questions on any of the aspects of what we do, don't hesitate.
Thank you,
I'm going to give you my card in case I didn't give you a long time ago. I mean, it's difficult because as the first at-large structure in your country, it's very difficult because you are the pioneer, and so no one else has heard that about ICANN and about all of this. It's really important that you...
I really understand that it's very important to take part in the discussions. To understand better
the
processes.
Yeah.
So,
he needed
the outside
again,
working
with the director,
the
center, the stress. To, yeah, that's the way I mean, I saw, of course, Michael's name, and I saw, what is it? I just had his name just a moment ago. Anyway, Leonid Todorov. He's here. I know he's here. We keep on drinking later tonight. We're buddies.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Of which Nick? APNIC. Oh, he's now joined APNIC, but he's still with CCTLD.ru. And CCTLD.ru is a member of APNIC as well, or? Because I always thought Russia was with Europe, but it probably is on both regions. Oh, cool. Oh, so I'll congratulate him then when I see him. Oh, he's excellent. I thought he was American to start with. His accent is just like amazing. I just wonder. I was like, wow, a strong American accent. Anyway, okay. Super. Well, thank you. Now, I don't hold any official position in Uralo. I'm just on the Uralo board, but I saw all the exchanges and so on. You know Wolf Ludwig? Okay, that's great. I think we can. We're hoping that we can have a general assembly in Dublin, and I hope that you will be able to come. And I hope that you can also take part in the conference calls, and even in the ALAC conference calls. I think that the monthly ALAC call, which talks about all business, is also interpreted from Russian. I really pushed for the languages. Because the world is divided into regions, you know? There's a strong Spanish part in America. There's a strong French part in Africa.
I've spent 2 weeks just after the New Year in Florida. Everybody looking. Spanish language.
Number one, it says we speak English here in the restaurant.
English as well. Some persons, that doesn't know English.
That's great. Yeah. No, they don't.
It's a world.
Okay. All right. Good to see you behind me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do I have to move here? Why?
to run quickly. I have to get a cigarette quickly. I haven't had any yet today. Unbelievable. I'm already starting to get a rash because of this. Terrible. I thought I was going to have a nice, relaxed day. So we're going to start on time then, I guess. Was that in your precious of work?
We'll start in 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. The presentation ready?
Let's have the recording on, please. Good morning, everybody. This is the second part of the morning session of the ALAC and Regional Leadership Working Session. Could I please ask people to take their seats? Or if you wish to discuss things, please leave the room. Thank you. So joining us today, after this short, very short coffee break, we have Larissa Gernick from the Strategic Initiatives Director. And we were supposed to have the visit of Ray Polzak, the board member and chair of the Structural Improvements Committee. Unfortunately, Ray is otherwise taken up by other board matters. So Larissa will hold the flag on this one. And without further ado, I hand the floor over to Larissa Gernick. Welcome.
Thank you very much. And once again, apologies from Ray. He unfortunately is tied up in a mandatory board meeting. Really wanted to be here to do this presentation, but I'll certainly do my best. Thanks for having me, and I'm here to give you a high-level overview of the upcoming at-large review. My team, Strategic Initiatives, provides support to the Structural Improvements Committee, and as such, we've been working very diligently in supporting the work of the GNSO review that's still underway. So happy to have that as part of our baseline experience as we come here to talk to you about steps in planning the at-large review. Next slide, please. So the purpose for the organizational reviews, of which at large is one of the reviews, is to comply with the bylaws requirement that every structure at ICANN, every organization at ICANN, be reviewed on a five-year cycle. So this is the beginning of the five-year cycle, and which is why we're here. With the GNSO structure having gone through the first review of the second cycle, if that makes sense. We certainly will be applying lessons learned and already had what I thought was a very productive session yesterday. Thank you, Holly, Cheryl, and Alan. Had an informal discussion with Jen Wolf, the chair of the GNSO Review Working Party, to share experiences and lessons learned to make this process as seamless as possible. The review is conducted by an independent examiner, and that examiner would be selected through a competitive bidding process. There will be an RFP developed, scope of work defined, criteria developed ahead of time, and I will be working with Holly and others here to make sure that everything is aligned, and the independent examiner will be ultimately confirmed and selected by the Structural Improvements Committee, and that will be the individual or a group of individuals doing the work. A concept that was introduced for the GNSO review that has been working quite well is a working party concept, and I'm very pleased that we will apply that concept to this review as well, and I'm looking forward to working with Holly, who will be assembling the GNSO, the at-large. Take me a little bit, apologies. That just comes right off the tongue. Will be forming the at-large review working party, and the whole idea behind this working party is to serve as a liaison between the Structural Improvements Committee, the independent examiner, the at-large community, and really all the other ICANN stakeholders in participating and helping guide the proceedings of the review. The work is done independently, of course, but there's a lot of touch points that are very critical, and the insights, knowledge, and depth of experience from the organization that's being reviewed being interjected in the process early on is quite important. In terms of work methods, there's several, and it's a combination of examining documents and records, and if at large is anything like the GNSO, there's not going to be any shortage of work for the independent examiner to review lots of records, documents, as well as the proceedings, and we expect that the independent examiner will observe some of the meetings and take part in the meetings and really learn from that direct experience. 360 is also a concept that was introduced during the GNSO review, and the idea is to collect information from a large and diverse group of people, and the concept of the 360 itself implies that the feedback would come from the at-large community, it would come from other SOs and ACs, board, staff, and anybody that has an interest and would like to provide input. So it's an online survey type tool, and there will be lots of opportunities for the review working party to provide input and help formulate questions so that the outcome is quantitative and qualitative data that's reliable and informative for the purposes of conducting the review. Another aspect of the work methods is interviews. While we say here that the interviews will be limited just by the sheer magnitude and the complexity of reaching out to a very large group of people, but experiences from the GNSO review certainly point to the fact that online survey tools are very useful, but face-to-face or one-on-one interaction with key people that have depth of knowledge is also very, very important. So we will continue to do that. And then review criteria will be developed upfront as really directed by the bylaws, and will be objective and quantifiable and clearly defined from the get-go. Next slide, please. I thought it would be helpful for you to understand the review cycle, and this is a generic review cycle that's being applied to all the reviews. It starts with the planning, and I would say that we are in the early days of the planning phase. Generally expect that this phase takes about 6 months, and that's the opportunity to do exactly what we're doing, reaching out, formulating teams of people, setting out criteria, setting up the competitive bidding process, and moving toward selecting an independent examiner. Then the next phase is the meat and potatoes of the review, obviously, is the conduct of the independent review, which generally takes 9 to 12 months. After that, and I will walk you through a process in more detail on the next slide, but the next logical phase is planning the implementation of improvements. Every review results in an assessment. At the end, there is conclusions of things that are working well and those things that can be improved. So for those improvements that would be useful, there is the planning phase for implementing those improvements and then actually going through and making those improvements happen. At the end of that cycle, which could take 9 to 12 months, could be shorter, could be longer, really depends on the nature of improvements that would be implemented. At some point, that concludes, and all those improvements become part of the standard operating process, which includes regular reporting, tracking, measuring performance, and monitoring effectiveness. Next slide, please. This is the proposed timeline, and as we uncovered very importantly in the conversation yesterday, this is a generic timeline that really needs to be conformed and specifically tailored to the work of your organization. and also to the fact that we want to make sure to use face-to-face ICANN meetings as opportunities to encourage participation in face-to-face interviews or one-on-one interviews. They don't have to be face-to-face, but that's obviously a very important inflection point, as well as ICANN gatherings have proved to be very useful in encouraging people to take part in the 360 assessment. So with the fact that a new ICANN meeting schedule is upon us coming calendar year 16, and the A and B type meetings is something that we have to consider very carefully, we'll be taking a very close look and making sure that the process, the steps, and the timing is such that we consider the gatherings of people that will be available, given the fact that we're moving into a new means of conducting ICANN meetings. So all of this will be reflected in the more detailed and targeted timeline. Next slide, please. Another view of the review process. The review, as I already explained, starts with the examination of documents, records, observations, collecting data through the 360, the interviews, and such. And then the next phase is the reporting phase, and that usually starts with the independent examiner collecting a whole lot of data and compiling that data into analysis that makes sense and provides them with a logical flow of being able to say how well have the recommendations from the prior review been implemented, has that implementation been as effective as it was intended to be, and what are the areas that require some additional work. The reporting phase starts with what we call working text, and it is not even a draft. It's an early opportunity for the working party to really engage with the independent examiner to make sure that the expertise that's within the organization is imparted on the people that are doing the review so that there's no gaps, and if there are any gaps in understanding or clarity, that's the opportunity to react to the working text and make necessary corrections and provide any additional data. And from there, we move into draft report. Draft report, according with standard ICANN process, gets published for public comment and will follow the traditional public comment cycle. And then that leads into the final report. Then from there, of course, we move into the implementation phase. And I'll talk about the roles and responsibilities on the next slide. Next slide, please. So there's several parties here that are involved in the review process. First is the Structural Improvements Committee, which is a committee of the board who has the responsibility to provide oversight over all organizational reviews. So their role is to really define the scope of the review in line with the bylaws requirements. And then as the process moves forward and there is a report that's issued by the independent examiner, they accept the report or they make a recommendation that to the board that the board accept the report. And then that generally results in the board directing staff and the organization to come up with an implementation plan. And then the implementation plan also goes to the Structural Improvements Committee, and it's their job to then recommend to the board again to approve the implementation plan. For some of you, you may be familiar with a previous construct that had board working groups that would write a report on the report of the independent examiner, and that was a method that was used in the past. That is not a method that is currently followed. So the board working group is not an entity that will be a part of this process because of that. So it should be much more streamlined and efficient. And the staff role in this is really to support and project manage the entire process. We assemble the RFP and oversee the competitive bidding process in line with ICANN procurement policies. We facilitate the Structural Improvements Committee's selection of the independent examiner, monitor the process, and really get involved every step of the way with the working party, with the independent examiner, making sure that information is provided on a timely basis, that the reports come out on schedule, and really just manage the timeline. At the end of the review, when there is an implementation plan, it's also staff, although not my team, it would be the policy staff that provides support to the at-large organization that will be working on the preparation of the implementation plan along with all of you. The role of the independent examiner, I think, is pretty clear. We already talked about the kinds of things that they do. They are the ones that do the assessment and reach final conclusions. And then the role of the review working party, which I mentioned in the beginning, is a group of people that would be assembled by your organization to assist in a variety of ways. First on the list is to assist with outreach and engagement, and I couldn't overstate the importance of that role, as we're learning from the GNSO review, to make sure that the outcome of the review is productive and useful. The input from the community into this process is really vital. So we have a pretty good model for communicating why this is important. We have some established FAQs and various other tools that we've already assembled, and we're certainly going to continue to refine them and make them applicable and useful here. But that's really, really a very key role for the working parties, to ensure that when the independent examiner starts looking at all the collected data, that the data is broad and sufficiently representative for them to form their conclusions. Part of the responsibilities is also coordinating the 360, making sure that the questions are relevant, clear, applicable, and that the overall structure of how the 360 is put together makes sense for this community. In terms of coordinating interviews, it's the working party that generally provides some suggestions who would be the right people to be interviewed to provide, or at least groups of people that would have the perspective, the knowledge, and the understanding to provide the independent examiner with the depth of understanding that they're looking for, as well as providing clarifications and corrections in areas where there might be gaps. And after the report is issued and it's the implementation phase, the working party, having been there throughout the whole process and having understood what the recommendations are intended to do, would be the ones to help develop the implementation plan. Next slide, please. I included some information that might be useful. While you see that it's not an oversight that it says GNSO review, we are just beginning to assemble all these documents relative to the at-large review, but looking at what's been put together for the GNSO review and the structure will certainly give you some ideas of how we've organized this so far. There is a community wiki that assembles everything that has to do with the review process, all the documents, all the meetings, all the updates, and everything like that. I thought it might be useful to see the FAQs because they're really intended to be that one of the many engagement and outreach mechanisms to help people understand what is this review all about, why should I take the time to provide input, why is this important, those kinds of things. You can also get an idea of the kinds of statistics that we've been tracking for the GNSO review, which, as I suggested yesterday, is very useful because when some of these new mechanisms were being put in place for the GNSO, we really didn't have a good baseline. We really didn't know what would be a good target for how many people should respond to the 360 and various other. And that's still evolving, and it'll continue to evolve, but at least you can see the kinds of data is being tracked. And, of course, myself as staff contact, I'm happy to answer any questions, and we'll continue to interact very closely to make sure that this process is useful. I'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, Larissa. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and you might have noticed we do have a few gaps in the table, and that's because part of our community, in fact, the majority of our leadership team, has been called to appear in the cross-community working group on accountability that is taking place at the same time as now. But we do have a good turnout here, and there is already a queue in operation. I don't know whether, Holly, you wanted to say just a few words, since you're the shepherd of the process for at large, and then I'll go through the queue. I've got Evan at the moment. Behran, you had your hand up, and Eduardo. Yeah, I'm seeing you. That's fine. Holly Reich.
First of all, Larissa, thank you very much. We had a really good meeting yesterday, and teased out some really interesting things. Just minor little things, but when we'd, first of all, everybody is going to put their hand up to be part of the working party, and I thank you already for doing so, but it's also well known that probably a few of you might lose a little bit of interest, and will probably be a few of us left standing, maybe. We have a little bit of a different task to the GNSO, which is what we started to talk about yesterday. GNSO is a particular group. Now, we've got three levels. We've actually got ALAC, and we're reviewing ourselves, but in doing so, we're also starting to look at the next couple of levels, which is AP Rallo, and then the ALSs. And that starts to raise some really interesting issues, because it's sort of, how do we measure ourselves? Do we actually have any measurements? And maybe that's a problem. So, and what are our metrics? All those sorts of issues are the things that we are going to be teasing out and clearly are going to want everybody's thoughts on. Some of the details which I found really interesting, there was, for the GNSO, a long survey and a short one. Because if you're like me, if you're not interested, you want to do a short one. If you are interested, you'll do the long one. The independent investigator will have the personal details of who replies, but if people want their responses to remain confidential, then in fact their name will not be identified with any outcomes at all. So in that sense, confidentiality is guaranteed up to that extent. We also were talking about the need to actually go as wide as possible to find the sort of data we want, and that's where I think everybody's brain should be in gear to think about, well, what is it that you think we should be questioning about? But we also realised that given the expertise of the independent investigator, we would want the expertise of that person or people to be able to understand how to take the information we think we want and frame that into questions that actually produce answers. There's a real real skill in being able to ask the sort of question that will produce useful answers. So, in fact, we had a really interesting meeting to start with. It's it's going to be a long task. We really do want people to be involved. And with that, then I'll let people start asking questions.
Thank you, Holly Reich. Evan Nibovich is next.
Thanks, Olivier. I've got three questions. One of which is, since you're doing a competitive selection for who's going to be the reviewer, are you going to get input from people in at large about the last time that the review was held, assuming perhaps that the the incumbent may be asking to do it again, considering that they're already doing the GNSO review. Is there going to be any consideration given to asking people on the ALAC what they thought of the process last time, considering that the company that did it last time may be asking to do it again? Secondly, to what extent are you doing an assessment of the last ALAC review? Because not all of the recommendations from the last ALAC review were implemented in their entirety. So I would like, if possible, for you to make sure that that becomes part of it. Because if you do a review, the results of the review are not fully implemented. What are the implications of that? Because that was already the case with the last ALAC review. And also, given the fact that this time it is not an ALAC review, but an at-large review, I would like you to talk about the specifics of how that is different. And given the fact that we are probably the most culturally and linguistically diverse component of ICANN, are your interviews going to be done in multiple languages? Are your interviews going to be done, reflecting that kind of diversity that may not have existed in any similar review that ICANN has done ever before? Thanks.
Holly said she can respond to some of this. So Holly and then Larissa.
I'll let Larissa talk about the selection of the independent review, the selection of the independent investigator. We've already talked yesterday about some of those issues and the fact that, number one, there are leftover recommendations, which is why we're going to go out. I mean, one of the documents we have, many of the documents we have to look at, are going to start with the last review. What is it we found? What is it we didn't find? And, in fact, a lot of things were not covered because, in fact, the ALS, is the Aprilolo structure, had just started. So we didn't review it. So that is absolutely front and center on the table. It will be on the table. And, yes, we yesterday said we have to start with the documents. We have to start with our own documents. We're going to have a look at the GNSO documents to see what they did, how they did it, what lessons we can learn from that. In terms of, I think that covers the bit that I wanted to talk about. In terms of the selection, I think you better talk about it.
Larissa Gunick.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. A couple of things on the assessment of the independent examiner that I'd like to share with you. As a matter of process, once an independent examiner completes the review, there will be an assessment. So the working party, and this is a general comment that would apply, the working party as a body that works very closely with the independent examiner, as well as staff and possibly the Structural Improvements Committee, will have the opportunity to assess how well the independent examiner delivered on the requirements that were set out at the beginning of the process. So that's something that's being implemented as we speak. We also specifically discussed the fact that several of you would like to provide input and comments on the individuals that will respond to the RFPs. Well, in order to preserve the independence, the selection itself will be done by the Structural Improvements Committee, but there will be an opportunity to provide your inputs, concerns, comments into the process. And then, by the same token, the independent examiner that will be selected to do the at-large review, the review working party will, in its turn, have the opportunity to review how effective of a job the independent examiner has done.
So there's two remaining questions, one of which was unanswered, which is about the diversity issue. Sorry, this is Evan again. And the other thing I wanted to ask was, I wonder if the methods that you just outlined are going to be totally suitable for at large. So give me a moment. Within most of ICANN, the parties that are involved are self-interested. You have businesses that are here because of financial interests. You have other interests that are here because they have a financial or career or whatever reason to be here. At large, almost by definition, is not that. It's the rest of the community that just happens to have an interest in at large. almost as a peripheral thing. Most of the groups that are involved, most of the ALSs, are not primarily ICANN focused. It's not. And to that extent, just say putting back like a public comments page or whatever, saying, okay, here's a survey or here's a public comment, and to passively just say, okay, here, come in and do this. I'm wondering if that's going to be sufficient, considering the nature of this community and the fact you're, to me, I think you're going, there's going to be more perhaps of an effort that needs to be made to actively go out to ALSs and to groups that may not normally participate, or they may come in on just a single issue or something like that. But I'm wondering if the same techniques that work throughout most of the other self-interest communities within ICANN just won't be sufficient in doing this with at large.
I'm going to take both for a start. We did talk about diversity. We did talk about the need for many languages. So we've already, that's already been spotted as an issue and noted. In terms of the diversity, yes, there will be a survey. That's certainly not seen as the only tool. We know we have to identify different people. We have to understand who the key people are. We actually then have to go out and say, what is it that we're looking for? The surveys are going to be just one tool, and we are working through what else we have to do. So, in fact, the next 6 months or less is going to be a very busy time saying what is it that we have to do, in fact, to make this an effective review. And when I said I actually would like input, I was serious.
Sorry, what I was getting at is, even coming to the number of meetings I've come to, you can see that there's different approaches. There's certain people that are not shy. They'll come out and they'll talk. And there's other people that you go out of the room and opinions have to be extracted with a crowbar. And I'm just thinking that just because they're not outgoing, just because they're not shy or whatever, there's going to be other voices in the room that, given a circumstance, even like a meeting, we'll just shut up and let everyone else talk. But their input is, I think, is going to be as valuable, if not even more so, than the ones you hear all the time.
I think we appreciate that, and that's why it's sort of, what is it that we have to do? Who are we looking for? And I think we also have a much bigger task because, as I said, we are looking at three levels, not one. It's not just a GNSO review. It's an ALAC review, but it's also a RALO review, and it's also an ALS review. Now, that actually starts to look almost too big. How are we going to manage it? And how far can we go in looking at those levels? And as part of that, what kind of information are we going to get that is actually useful, that doesn't overwhelm the whole process? And those are big questions. We have a few months to ask the questions and then figure out what the answers are. I'm taking a deep breath and going, very long process. Everybody has already put their hands up. Thank you very much. We're going to need the input, not just from you, Evan, but from everybody else who has not talked.
Thank you, Holly and Evan. And may I just remind you kindly to say your name when you take the floor. Larissa Gernick.
Hi, Larissa Gernick. So I wanted to address very specifically the diversity question and tell you that in terms of the 360, that will be translated, as it has been for the GNSO, translated into the six UN languages. And it already came out, the differences. I mean, this is really not about comparing this to the other. We're just using that as a reference point because the GNSO review is underway. In that case, there were very few, if any, requests to provide the answers to the 360 assessment in another language, but the opportunity was certainly there. We already flagged the fact that one-on-one interviews with people of the at-large community, there has to be an accommodation for translations and an opportunity to conduct those in different languages, so we've made note of that.
Thank you, Larissa. Olivia speaking. In the queue, I have Baron Gillen, Eduardo Diaz, and Vanda Scartesini. So let's start with Baron Gillen.
This is Baron Gillen for the record, and Evan stole my question. But I do have a second question. It's to Holly. I just wanted to know whether you would be having a geographically balanced work review party.
Well, since everybody in this room has put their hand up, like it or not, I imagine it will be. And you're going to have to bake off if you're not going to participate. Yes, of course.
Thank you, Holly. Next is Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Eduardo for the record. I have a question about this 360 assessment. I have heard that and I have never participated in something like that, but how does that work? Does that work that like a one-to-one, questionnaire, you know, where somebody calls somebody and talks, or is it something that people fill up in the some kind of survey? And if this 360 assessment is really for the whole ALAC, I guess, right? Okay, thank you.
Larissa?
This is Larissa. Yes, so the 360, the term 360, and we really struggled with whether that's an appropriate term or whether there's a better term, and in the long run we ended up with the 360. Still bears clarification and explanation. The point of why it's called a 360 is because it's really intended to collect feedback all around 360 degrees, which means every aspect of the at-large organization, as well as other organizations and anybody outside of the at-large. So truly a full 360 perspective. And then in terms of the first question, the means of this tool, it's an online tool. It's a fairly simple, user-friendly method, whether it's SurveyMonkey or something like a SurveyMonkey, is yet to be determined, but it's intended to be user-friendly and simple, to be conducted online, and the data to be captured on the back end for easy reference and analysis by the independent examiner. So the responses and the fielding of the survey is all done by the independent examiner. They collect the answers. They know the identities. Staff has nothing to do with that, and that's essentially how it will work.
Thank you, Larissa. Olivier speaking. A follow-up from Eduardo.
So there are not one-to-one interviews, or is that part of the 360 also? That's the other question I had. This is Eduardo.
Larissa, to answer your question, 360 is the online survey, more of an interactive data gathering tool, data being quantitative and qualitative. Interviews are separate, and interviews would be conducted to the extent feasible in a face-to-face environment at an ICANN meeting or some other meeting as would be appropriate, as well as conducted over the phone or Skype or some other means. But that mechanism would be one-on-one in the sense that, or I suppose it could be two people representing the independent examiner having an interview with a single individual over whatever the suitable mechanism if it's not face-to-face.
Thank you, Larissa. Olivia speaking. And 360 is indeed a bit of a loaded term, as a 360 review is to do with human resources. So I don't know whether you considered that, or that might be the reason why we have a recurring question about what a 360 is. There is no human resources component in the 360 that will be performed in the review, is there?
No, you're right, Olivia. No human resources component. We borrowed the term from a tool that's typically used in a human resources, kind of evaluation of an individual's performance, but only in the sense that it's intended to reach out and gather feedback, not from just one body, but diverse bodies. And certainly if there is a better term, we are happy to use any term that makes more sense and resonates. So we're definitely not married to the term 360.
Thank you, Larissa. Vanda Scartazzini is next.
Yes. Been very old in this process around here. What is important, in my opinion, is which questions we're going to do in 360, not the name of that. But are you going to have give you a suggestion for accelerate the process? Each RALU has a 1 month call. I believe that the any call in next month or this one, whatever, is to be attended by the group that was selected, because they need to at least understand what is going on and what is cultural behavior of that group, and so give them a space in that to explain their task will help to accelerate the process. Just that.
Action item on Heidi or Sylvia or somebody to say, probably I should be, I think that's an excellent suggestion. If I can have maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the next RALO calls just to run through what we're doing would be, and maybe actually the thing to do would be to circulate the material you sent to me to each RALO, and then I can talk to that. Thank you, Vanda.
Thank you, Holly. Larissa, did you want to respond to that as well? Or
actually, I just have a question. Did you mean, I mean, clearly the working party to begin the process of engaging the RALOs, but were you also thinking that it would be useful for the independent examiner? Both. Okay, thank you.
Vanda, for the record.
Yes. I was suggesting that not only us, as a part of group, but independent group, because they don't know what is going on and they are new in that.
Holly Reich.
I think what I was thinking is to at least explain to the RALOs now what the process is, to get their interest up, to say this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. We're looking for members of committees and so forth. It will start the ball rolling, and then when there is an independent examiner selected, they'll know who that person is, what they're going to do. So from day one, get that interest up.
Yeah, my suggestion, Vanda, my suggestion is to have the independent group attending that. And Holly, for instance, or whoever, can explain, because they knew more easily to deal with that community. But the independent group need to understand. And to attend this group is just listen then what is going on, you know, what is the cultural behavior of that group. It's quite important to start thinking how they will address to them.
Thank you, Vanda. Next is Alberto Soto intervening in Spanish.
Sorry for big Spanish.
Hablamos no español. Mais on pourrait parler français.
Thank you very much.
Alberto
Soto.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much. I share your opinions, your point of views, particularly those from Evan and Vanda. And in LACRALO, in our monthly meeting, we have two cycles, 20-minute slots assigned for these type of situations. In every single monthly meeting, our next meeting will be February the 23rd, we will have 20 minutes assigned for this. And if you need extra time, please let me know and we will extend the time. My opinion, at least, is that the internet end user
is us, the ones who are here, and not those who are sitting somewhere else and who do not know anything about ICANN. I'm sorry for saying this. And why do I say this? Because the individual internet user who doesn't exactly know where he's standing and whether the internet is working well or not, well, that is the biggest problem. We have already confirmed that when we were talking about with a journalist, they were asking us, okay, what is ICANN? How can ICANN help us? So they don't know anything about ICANN. It is us, the end users, the ones who have the knowledge and the ones who can participate in the policy-making process. So ALAC in particularly and the ALS is under RALOS, we are in the position to contribute to this. Why? For example, in Uruguay, we only have one ALS with 7,000 associates. And in Mexico, we have more than 407. Internauta Argentina has more than 450 associates. And just with this information, you can imagine the amount of people that we have. Some of them are professionals, some of them are professors at universities, some of them are technicians. But this way of working makes your work very simplified, and even the service might be more simplified because, I mean, today I had 30 minutes to speak, but I was not able to explain what we are doing. According to the ICANN strategic plan, and we work with both Rodrigo Saucedo and Rodrigo de la Parra. So we are developing webinars on different topics. And the first topic will be the internet users and the use and the gag and the list of MBTs and the list of that each ALS in Lagrallo has. Unfortunately, we have many possibilities in the Adobe Connect, but I don't think that those functionalities will be enough for us. We are assigning priorities to this topic of the GAC and the end users because we want to encourage and engage governments to participate in the rest of the webinars. Therefore, I offer you that in our second webinar in April, that will be your topic. Perhaps you may have 1 hour presentation. I mean, the webinar lasts an hour and a half. So you develop the topic, and then we have a Q&A session. So you will have the chance of having a great audience, a large audience. All the webinars are open, and they are aimed at non-technical people. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto Soto. Any response? Larissa Grenning.
This is Larissa. Thank you very much. Certainly very useful information because throughout the process, we're very eager to have opportunities to reach out and explain as much as is needed and as much as people have the attention and the interest to hear so that the conduct of the review and the examination is productive. Having gone through to go through the review and not to get broad and diverse feedback from the right people that have the sufficient knowledge and information and points of view really would not serve the purpose of the review from anybody's standpoint. So I really appreciate you flagging the webinar, and we will be taking an action item to prepare a presentation and to begin, use that as an opportunity to engage with the audience and really do that on a consistent basis throughout the process.
Thank you, Larissa. Olivier Capanablon speaking. And if I may add to what's been said, I'm absolutely very impressed with the way Lacrallo is looking into this and the proactive attitude that is being taken by Lacrallo under your leadership and one of your secretariat. I just wonder, Holly, as the shepherd of the process for At Large and the fact that the RALOS have a really big defining influence this time around, is there a chance for lessons learned, for best practices to be shared by the different RALOS and to get the same kind of involvement on each one of the RALOS?
I certainly hope so. I certainly intend so. I mean, I think the first round of discussion with the various relos is just going to be, this is what's happening, this is what we're going to be doing, we want your involvement, we want you to understand what we're asking, we want you to think about the fact that we're reviewing the whole process of ALAC, but also RALOS at the very least. And I would imagine what that will do is then open up the discussion. So when we have an independent investigator, then the independent investigator and maybe me, you, whatever, can then present a much longer presentation in terms of this is what we're looking for, and use that opportunity to not only to inform but then to seek feedback. So I would imagine there's going to be more than one participation. I imagine it's going to be, because if you looked at one of the earlier slides, it's a long process. This next six-month period is literally just developing the process, thinking through the questions we want to ask, thinking through who we want to engage, how we want to engage them. So it's actually, we've got a fair bit of time to think through the best ways to actually be able to listen to people and to get the information we want so that we can understand how ALAC works, how the RALOS work, and how we might improve that. So it's going to be a long conversation. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, Holly. Olivier Crepin-Ablon speaking. A little follow-up from Alberto Soto.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. We have started working with surveys. We have started working with surveys within our region. And I believe that we can continue with the same survey. So I volunteer so that you can send us your surveys, and perhaps we can send you our surveys. They are in Spanish and in English. Now we have a proposal to have a survey on ICANN risks. So we have generated a division because we have the risks unclassified. So we have classified the risks. We have divided the risks. And we are now providing that information to ALAC, if you will. That survey was made within LAC RALO. So I think we can work in a quickly manner. Thank you.
Speaking, Holly Reich.
Thank you very much. But there are two of us on the microphone. Can you turn your mic? Sorry. I'm hearing voices.
Holly is hearing voices.
I'm hearing
Get
voices.
Her a coffee, please.
I've always dreamed of hearing voices. I imagine that there'll be a lot of very useful information in the surveys, and probably, Larissa, we would be using some of that in terms of what information. One of the things that came out of yesterday's discussion when we just started to talk about this was, in fact, the more data you get beforehand, before you develop the questions, the better. You have more of a picture of what it is either you know or you don't know and you want to find out. So that sort of information would be very useful at an early stage so that we can get a feeling about what information is available. I mean, we do have, as Evan pointed out, we've got all the information that was gathered as part of the 2009 ALAC review. We've got to look at the GNSO reviews because there's a lot of information about how that process worked or didn't work. You can always learn the positive and the negative. So the more information we have beforehand, the more we're actually able to develop the kinds of questions that are going to help us understand how ALAC and the RALOS can work better. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. Olivier Crepin-Ablon speaking. And the action item on this, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, is for Heidi, Larissa, and Holly to coordinate on those surveys, especially looking at the ones that will be supplied by Alberto Soto and LAC RALO.
Do you have any time?
from January 2015 to December 2019. 6 months, okay. Mike, Holly, please.
The first phase will go to the end of June. We want to be planning what the questions... Well, we want to have the independent investigator on board so that when we develop the questions, we do have the ability of an investigator to frame the questions in a way that will be meaningful. So we want to have the people on board. We want to have all the information looked at and analysed so that by the end of June, we will actually be ready to roll, and then we can have the sort of 12 months, well, 9 to 12 months, which is the next part of the process.
Thank you for this, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Since we have a few more minutes and I see no one else in the queue, I have a point of clarification with regards to the timeline. Conduct review is shown as being from July 2015 to March 2016. On the next slide, if we could move to the next slide, please, we have review report implementation plan. Does that date that we had for conduct review incorporate review and report?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Oh, I just needed to know. No, it's great to assume, but it's important to know, and that's great. Okay, well, any other questions or comments from people around the table? Seeing no hands up, I thank you very much for coming to speak to us about this very important review. I think the community is very excited to go forward with another round of reviewtotitis. I remember the last one being particularly onerous at the end and saying, let's just get on with it. But it really is great, and it's one of the key processes that make ICANN accountable and ICANN's component parts accountable. So we really are looking forward to take part in this, and Holly is going to shepherd this with her expert hand. So thanks very much, Larissa. And with this, session is, I guess, finished. So thank you. And there might be an announcement. Is the recording finished?
Okay, thank you, everyone. There's now a 90-minute break until 13:30. So lunch is lots of places downstairs. You can get lunch. Okay, for the members of the Finance and Budget